Robots versus Oil. I'm John Moe. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. A massive operation continues in the Gulf of Mexico dealing with the disastrous oil spill there, and robots are being asked to carry a huge load of the work deep underwater where people can't go. So what kind of robots are they? We wanted to find out about these remotely operated vehicles, or ROVs. Drew Michel is the head of the ROV Committee for the Marine Technology Society. He's not in the Gulf, and he can't comment on the specifics of what's going on, but he's been involved with these things since the 60s. And he says the early ROVs weren't all that sophisticated.
Those early vehicles were little more than, in fact, the common terminology was flying eyeballs. Think about something about the size and shape of a pony keg of beer with a grainy black and white television camera in it.
And no arms, just there to observe?
No arms, no manipulators, nothing. We did in those early days build small grabbers, the size of, a ruler. But the evolution was rather quick. We went from those small initial flying eyeballs to larger vehicles. You can imagine the size of a typical office desk. You had two electric motors in a horizontal plane, and these are motors with propellers on them that would drive the ROV in a horizontal direction. And then you had two motors mounted vertical to give you the up and down motion. So essentially, when the vehicle's underwater, it can hover and turn on its own axis and move sideways, reverse, forward, just like a helicopter would.
And what was spurring that development? Was it the industrial uses? Was it the military uses?
Very, very good question. The military uses, of course, were the early drivers. Mine hunting, mine countermeasures, finding things that might be lost or might be hidden on the seafloor. Things that maybe some other country hid and our government wanted to go find it, or something that we had lost and had to go find. As offshore oil drilling started moving into deeper water, the demand grew. As the oil industry moved into 2,000 feet, 3,000 feet, 5,000, 6,000, and now 10,000 feet, the vehicles kept pace with that growth.
And what were they being asked to do in those ever-deepening waters?
If you can think of the vehicle as a robot, but I know most people think of a robot as something that has sort of a human shape.
Right.
So think of it more as a small Volkswagen bus with two very long, very strong arms on the front of it and multiple television cameras and sonar systems. And they can do a multitude of tasks. They can run hydraulic motors. They can cut cables. They can even use tools that can cut very large steel members. One of the manipulators can actually pick up 500 pounds at the extent of his reach. And in the offshore oil industry, there are probably 700 of those vehicles around the world working 365 days a year, 24 hours a day.
There will be a long investigation into the spill in the Gulf. What role do ROVs play in deep-sea investigations?
In any investigation, in the best example in the world of this, you've heard it many times in the news. When an airplane crashes, the black box is somewhere in that wreckage. The ROV goes down, finds the airplane, finds the section of the airplane where the black box is, and quite often has to use various cutting tools, saws, and that sort of thing, to cut the wreckage away and retrieve that black box. The same thing would happen in any offshore incident, whether it be oil field related or whatever, if there was forensic evidence that was required to try to determine what went wrong. The ROV would be instrumental in doing whatever it took to retrieve that piece of equipment.
Drew Michel is the head of the ROV Committee for the Marine Technology Society. We have more information on ROVs online at futuretense.publicradio.org. We reached a representative from BP, but they did not offer comment. Future Tense is produced by Larissa Anderson. I'm John Moe.
American Public Media.